Welcome back. Eric Erickson here. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB, the nation's most listened to news talk station. Joining me from the campaign trail is Governor Scott Walker, who's, I hear you had a sleepless long drive to South Carolina.
We did. Tuesday we were in Nevada, and we were going to fly in Tuesday night, fly through Atlanta and make a connection to Charleston. But as you all know, the weather was pretty bad Tuesday night. We got diverted to Memphis for a couple hours, and by the time we got in, we missed our flight to Charleston by about 4 minutes. So we pulled an all-nighter. It was like preparing for a college exam, and we got to North Charleston at the Harley-Davidson dealership there about 8 minutes after 8 in the morning and had a super crowd, so it was worth it. But I ended up being back that night in Atlanta for about a 40-hour day.
Wow, good gracious. I don't know how you guys do it. Look, I've got a number of questions for you, but I can't help but start the interview by asking you, I know you mentioned earlier on the campaign trail today, this tragedy that's happened in in Chattanooga, your thoughts on it?
Oh, well, we paused the last stop I was at this Seacoast Harley-Davidson dealership. We stopped for a moment to just pause and pray, just to remember the families of those four Marines, as we understand, and the officer that's, at least latest we heard, was down. In fact, I left a call for Bill Haslam, my friend, the governor of Tennessee, and he just sent me a text back really moments ago before I went on with you, and our hearts are heavy. I mean, it's just, we don't know enough, I guess, yet, to know exactly the circumstances. We'll watch in the coming hours here, but I think first and foremost, our hearts are heavy, and we pray for God's grace and support for those family members who are obviously suffering so much right now.
Amen on that. Governor, today the Wisconsin Supreme Court shut down the John Doe investigation, which was essentially a witch hunt, subtly directed at you. They said it was unconstitutional to begin with, that the prosecutor acted beyond common sense. I've always been amazed. Even David Axelrod, the president's former consultant, has been amazed at how much the left threw at you in Wisconsin to try to throw you off your game.
Yeah, it is amazing. I mean, you think about not just the 100,000 protesters taking over our Capitol, what was the original Occupy movement, then went on to Wall Street. You think about the death threats and the protests at our home and at public events, going after my wife and my kids, my parents. You think about the recall and the reelect, and then all these legal, all this legal nonsense, which once and for all, the state Supreme Court finally said, shut it down, end it, this is not right. Everything we said for the last several years that we thought the original court had affirmed, it's now the law of the land. But it's just too bad. I mean, I'm tough. I can take these sorts of abuses. It's just too bad it drew so many other folks in needlessly to something that it should have never gone down this path.
Well, it just the harassment and everything was absolutely insane, going after private citizens, raiding their homes. I'm glad the Supreme Court did that to you, and I'm glad you can get that behind you. I do need to ask you the Ted Kennedy question. In 1980, I guess a reporter asked Ted Kennedy a question, and he couldn't answer it, so I'm going to ask you the same question. Why are you running for president of the United States?
I got two reasons. They're named Matt and Alex. Those are my two sons, and the same reason why Tonette and I decided to run for governor years ago, and why, as we just mentioned, with all the abuse that we got and the reforms we put in place, it was worth it, because I wanted my sons to grow up in a state that was even greater than I did, and now in America, I feel some of the same challenges I did years ago, but I'm an optimist. I believe it's not too late for Matt, for Alex, and all the others, all the other sons and daughters like them, and those yet to be born. I just want to make sure they can live in a country that's even greater than the one we inherited.
Well, you say that, and there seems to be the sense, and it's a bipartisan sense, I gather, from Washington. There are a lot of Republicans and Democrats there who have kind of decided that the next century will be the Chinese century, and they're just supposed to manage American decline.
Oh, I just find that to be unacceptable. I mean, I think back to when I came of age watching President Reagan. There were a lot of people in the 80s who said that the way the economy was going, that Germany and Japan were going to overtake us. Thank goodness President Reagan renewed the American spirit. Not long after that, along the way, we saw that, well, all throughout that process, we see companies like Apple and Microsoft and eventually Facebook and others lead us into a whole new century of technology and innovation. And all that came from the right leadership helping to renew the American spirit, which burns deep within so many of us. We need to do that again. I'm not going to concede that America should lead from behind. I think we are winners. We are, you know, we win in leading the way, and that's good not just for Americans, it's good for the world.
Talking to Governor Scott Walker. Governor, there are, I think at last count now, 580 some odd candidates for president on the Republican side. I mean, what sets you apart from the other 2,000 of them?
Yeah, pretty soon it'll be easy to list all the Republican officials who are not running for governor.
Exactly.
The truth be told, these are a lot of great people, probably the best crowd of Republican presidential candidates, I think, since 1980, and a lot of them are really good friends of mine. And so you're not going to hear me speak ill of the other Republicans out there. What I will say is what makes me different, I think, is that there's really two groups. There are people who are really good fighters. They fought the fights in Washington, but their fighters have yet to win. There's a lot of other people who won elections, but they haven't consistently taken on the fights, at least the big fights that matter of late. And I think what makes us unique is we've done both. We have fought the good fights, and we have won those fights. And I don't just mean winning three times in the last 4 years in a battleground state like Wisconsin. I mean winning the actual battles, from tax reform, the right to work, taking on the public employee unions, to getting rid of tenure and seniority, to defunding Planned Parenthood, to passing Castle Rock and concealed carry, to lowering property taxes to lower than they were before we took office, to requiring a photo ID. I mean, you think of a common sense conservative reform in America, and we've done it in a state that hadn't gone Republican for president since 1984. I say if our reforms can work in a blue state like Wisconsin, they can work anywhere in America. I think we've had a convincing case, not just to Republicans, but to Americans who want a president who's going to fight and win on issues that matter to them. I'm their guy.
You mentioned defunding Planned Parenthood in Wisconsin. Really a horrible story that's come out. The unedited video makes it even worse than the edited video. Now you've got a congressional investigation. Republicans in Washington have never seemed, even when they had the majority in Congress, to be able to defund Planned Parenthood.
Well, this is another example, and this is something that we did early on. 2010, my state was entirely controlled by Democrats. Governor, both houses, we came in early in 2011 and did a whole bunch of reforms, many of which people know, others they may not know. We defunded Planned Parenthood. We took those dollars and we sent them to other places that weren't controversial to support legitimate women's health issues. But we defunded Planned Parenthood. We passed an ultrasound requirement. We're now, in fact, next Monday I'm going to sign a bill that protects an unborn child at 5 months when they can feel pain. But with this Planned Parenthood video, it just shows how disturbing and horrifying and disgusting that is. And I think it's an example. We've done it in many states, including mine, but nationally, we shouldn't be funding Planned Parenthood at the federal, at the state, or at the local level. There's plenty of non-controversial alternatives out there when it comes to true, legitimate women's health issues. This is not something we should be supporting.
I want to move on to some of the issues on the campaign trail that I know you'll be talking about. Every candidate has the one big idea when they run for president. It's kind of their overarching idea that defines their campaign theme for a better America. What's your big issue that really, when you wake up in the morning, it's the if you were king for a day, this would be what you would pass through Congress and be known for?
Well, for us, it's three categories, but I'll single it down. I'd say it's reform, growth, and safety. And you go to scottwalker.com, people can get more of the details on that. But on reform, the big idea that's unique that I think, at least to the level we're talking about, is unique above the others. I believe we need to transfer major portions of power and money from Washington to the states and ultimately to the people. I mean, not just Medicaid like they talked about before. I'm talking Medicaid and other social services, transportation, workforce development, environmental protection, education. You name it, the states and the local governments are much more effective, much more efficient, and definitely much more accountable to the American people. That's something I think we need to do early on. We need to do it when there's a honeymoon at the beginning of the first term of the president, and we need to have a Republican House and Senate that's going to go along with it. I think we talk about it during this campaign. We can have the blueprint for that kind of success. It's exactly what we did in Wisconsin. We pushed these big bold reforms early, and it helped shape the rest of our term.
You know, you mentioned doing something early on in, during the honeymoon. I'm not sure the future presidents are going to get much of a honeymoon, given the anger in Washington. You've known this firsthand in Wisconsin. Just the unions, the animosity. Why do you think the left, every time they win, it seems to make them even angrier?
Well, it's amazing. In our case, I mean, the reason they come out after us, on Monday when I announce Hillary Clinton gives a big economic speech, or at least what she called it, singles me out in that. Donald Trumka, the head of the AFL-CIO, puts out an attack on me. Others are out there. And I think in our case, part of the reason why in the courts and the recall and everywhere else they've gone after us is they fear us probably more than anybody else out there. Not because I'm the greatest speaker or anything else like that. They fear us because we actually get things done. And if you're someone on the left, they want to boil this all too often. The attacks, they want it to be personal. They want to go off subject and make a personal attack in some way they can demonize their opposition. That's why they go after people on a personality-based level, not on a policy-based level. We won in Wisconsin, one of the bluest of the battleground states out there. Why? Because our reforms worked. We put our head down. We thought more about the next generation, the next election. But because we did it early and we had time to show the reforms worked, the public who... early in 2011, who I was in the 30% something range for approval rating, later came back that next year and elected me in a recall again with a greater percentage and a higher number of votes the first time. Why? Because our reforms worked.
Yeah, I guess for you guys on the campaign trail, not letting the sound and the fury of a minority of vocal angry people distract you from the rest of the people out there who actually do pay attention and do work. And really is remarkable. I'm glad you said Wisconsin is a blue state, not a purple state, because it really is a Democratic state and you were able to win there.
Yeah, it's one of those where some people think it's purple because now Republicans are in charge of the legislature and the governor, lieutenant governor. But really, you look at the polling, it's a blue state. And your last point is such a vivid one. I remember in the height of the protest, we had 100,000 protesters occupy our Capitol. I remember every night at the 5 o'clock hour, I would do a live press conference so I could talk directly to the people of my state, because I knew the media, in many cases, was acting as a filter. So I'd talk directly to them, and I'd take some questions. And I think it was NBC's national reporter asked me during one of these, you could hear all the people yelling and screaming and blowing their horns and everything else. And she said, well, Governor, don't you think these people have a right to be heard? And I said, sure, that's what's great about America. They have every right to be heard. But I was elected by a majority of people in a state of 5.7 million people. And those people aren't all here because many of them are at home working or with their families. And while the vote protesters have a right to be heard, I shouldn't let their voices drown out the voices of the majority of people in my state who elected me. And that's exactly the point that needs to be made in America.
Governor Scott Walker, listen, I got a hard break here. I appreciate you stopping by. Good luck on the campaign trail to you.
Thanks so much. ScottWalker.com for more details.
All right. Governor Scott Walker, we'll be back.